This is Terry McLaurin, and you're listening to Roster Watch.
Ladies and gentlemen, Roster Watch Nation, welcome back to the Epic Roster Watch Podcast. We have with us a great friend of the show. He is Dr. David Chow. You know him on Twitter, at ProFootballDoc. You found the field view stuff that we have up on our site for your use for making decisions and things like that up at rosterwatch.com. So happy to be partnered with them to get you guys that information. And they have some more stuff coming out this year that you're going to be super, super excited to hear about. Dr. David Chow, how are you doing, sir?
I'm great, and thanks for accommodating time, you know, in the middle of surgery stuff here, or between surgeries. There's nobody on the table.
I wasn't going to say anything, Doc, but now that you've said it, man, I think you're the only guest we've ever had that's popping in between surgeries.
No, between. There's no patient asleep on the table or open on the table right now, and thus the bad lighting and background and surgical hat that I took off, and, you know, and no fancy background like yours.
So you got, I'm not sure how fancy. Let's just tell them real quick before we get into these players. Tell them about, so at sickscore.com, you guys are rolling out sick data this year. What is it?
Yeah, we got a lot of exciting things in a lot of different levels. The first thing, of course, is the preseason injury preview. It's really a book, a mini book of all the players. And to us, it's a must look at before you draft for the season. And right now we're in preseason mode, which is all the scores are for the season. And we'll talk about that specifically, I'm sure. What expectations for the season? When we get to week one, it will be expectations for week one, then week two, week three, before, you know, fantasy for that week or DFS or whatever. So that's one of our current features. The other thing that we're excited about is Sick Insights, completely free, quick twitch everyone. This player is questionable. What is our expectations? Like, and we'll get into it, I'm sure. Terry McLaurin, I'm sure we'll talk about. It's going to say turf toe, and we think it's worse than being let on, and I think it's absolutely going to affect him week one and potentially beyond. And that's what you can get out of Sick Insights. You should bookmark that. Sick Data is a behind a small paywall, and we think that's really good because what we find is that by giving it away to too many people, it starts to move lines and move odds. And this way, it limits the amount of people that can see it. And I think it's very useful to compare running backs. Let's say, instead of saying, which running back should I play this week? They're about even. Why don't you look at the health of your offensive line, the offensive line, or health of the opposing run defense before you make your final decision? And that's what you can do with Sick Data. We've always had sick picks, but that's for people who just want, you know, spoon-fed information, not your guys that want to look at and make their own decisions.
they do, Doc. They definitely have a mind of their own, or they want to exercise their own free will so they can take some credit for their decision making. So Terry McLaurin, for some reason I didn't have him written down. You said we're gonna talk about him. I didn't have him written down on my list here, so that's probably a mistake. Like, so you think it's worse, right? Like, I've just trusted
We'll jump into Terry McLaurin. And you know, Alex, I love these conversations because spontaneous is the way to go. We don't need to rehearse all this stuff, right? And to have a conversation and be genuine is the way to go. So I didn't know what was on the list. I just happened to say Terry McLaurin because it was recent. But here's what we do that's different. Well, the funniest thing I always get, Alex, is I get a lot of nice people saying stuff, and you guys at Watch are nice. But the most common thing I get from individuals is, I love your stuff. Like the recent one I got is, by following your stuff, I haven't ever had to drop a player, like a bad draft pick, like for the season, because it, you know, I've stayed away, stay away. And, but the tagline was, but I don't tell my friends.
Not much word of mouth around here.
And it's a word of mouth world, but, yeah. But what we have is something that guys who play against their friends don't want to tell their friends about, which is great, which is we love you guys, et cetera. So Terry McLaurin, here's the deal. And here's the big difference. And this will illustrate what we do. we do injury analysis versus injury reporting. If you go by injury reporting, you are absolutely not worried about Terry McLaurin, because the reports, he caught the ball, he finished the play, he mm-hmm. walked off the field on his own power. It just looked like, you know, his time was done. It was late in the second quarter and nothing to see here. And then they put out x-rays negative, and then they put out nationally that it's a toe sprain, kind of buried it was a turf toe, and then said, you know, there's an optimistic chance of week one, et cetera. Let me do injury analysis on that. By video, it was absolutely a turf toe, and we have it on our site. And the big toe was bent up. This is the joint. It was bent up at least to 90 degrees if you look at the video. Try and do that with your big toe. It doesn't go that far, okay? And there's no question it's at least a grade two sprain. Look, I'm not saying it's going to need surgery.
I've never thought of a turf toe as something that can push your toe up. I've always thought of something where your toe gets knocked down. It's also when it comes up. Yeah.
What's hurt is the bottom, but it's when you get pushed up.
Oh, okay.
So when you're pushed up, what's hurt is the bottom, if that makes sense.
Wild. Okay.
So in any case, by injury analysis, it was always turf toe, and we were saying it in-game. And we expect x-rays to be negative. Turf toe is not a bony injury. So everything's negative x-rays, you know, sprain, no big deal. If it was really widely put out there that it was turf toe, I think people would be more worried. Now, for push-off and cutting and decel, it's a big deal. Look, we think he's more likely to go on a six-week IR stint than play week one. And if he's lucky enough to play week one, we don't see how he can be effective like normal Terry McLaurin. So we don't have MRIs, and we'll monitor as the news goes on. But we have a yellow light on drafting Terry McLaurin. I'm not saying you can't draft him, but you cannot expect Terry McLaurin's season six score to be in the 90s. At this point, I have to look up the formula, but it's likely in the 70s for the season. So if you're expecting 1,000 yards or 100% Terry McLaurin, you might have to expect 750 this year, because the first part of the season is going to have some effect.
God, I'm glad you brought up McLaurin, Doc. I can't believe I would have overlooked asking you that. That could be the most important thing that we talk about today. All right, so what about as long as we're talking about receivers that have just been injured, this might be – I don't know if you've had much time to think about Jaxon Smith-Njigba or just what it means that they're saying it's a small fracture in his wrist now. What does that mean?
Well, first of all, we're not perfect, and believe me, it's not me. We have a staff. You know, I don't know if you've seen the war room pictures on Sundays.
Yeah,
they're working throughout the week. So the staff is always on it. Look, I'll admit, I'm still on family time, kids' first day of school today, et cetera. I wasn't watching the preseason games, but when something happens, I get the text and the Slack and the da-da-da and the video, and sure, they collate it all for me. That's how we're able to do it. Jaxon Smith-Njigba. Once again, a good example of what we say, injury analysis, not injury reporting. The reporting is small fracture, nothing to see here, 3-4 weeks, some optimism of week one, hoping, et cetera. Let's just talk about that for a little bit. And you guys have covered this at Roster Watch. What happened this end of this season, and even end of last season, end of this season being 2022, and last season, 2021, in Baltimore with Lamar Jackson? Every week, the head coach would say, he looks better this week. We're hopeful he's going to practice Wednesday. We'll see about Friday. And come Friday, ruled out. And every week for 4 weeks at the end of the season, like, he is not playing. He is not playing. He is not playing early on. Now, that doesn't change anything for fantasy, per se, because you can wait till late week to figure it out. It might change something if you had a Thursday decision to make. But it certainly changes the lines if you're doing stuff, right, in terms of what's going on. So we do injury analysis. Now, Jaxon Smith-Njigba, I love Pete Carroll. I saw some Twitter comments that I make fun of Pete Carroll. No, I'm amused by Pete Carroll. I don't make fun of Pete Carroll.
Right.
Coaches, I'm not banging on Coach Harbaugh. Coaches are out to do their job, and their job is to not tell us everything about injury, not tell their opponents everything about injury. Their job is to keep things private. You have to understand, Alex, I was on the other side of the equation. head coaches on occasion would ask me, what should I tell the media? Because we don't want to tell them the truth. And I'd say, well, why don't you tell them this to spin it? You're not lying, but you can talk around it. So I'm the guy who's on the other side. So I'm looking at injury analysis. Pete Carroll is always optimistic. It's a broken bone in his wrist. By video, it's a right. Yeah. A bone that, because of poor blood flow, doesn't heal well. A bone that needed a screw put in it. And you're telling me he's going to play 3 weeks from now as a wide receiver? I mean, as a lineman, sure, put it in a cast. You're telling me he's going to play in 3 weeks. And if he does play, you're telling me he's not going to be sore and he's not going to have some sort of splint on, which, I mean, he's going to make one-handed catches? Or I don't see it. I see it affecting him for sure. And I think this is a very Pollyanna, let's keep hope alive response and reporting. Look, I could be wrong. And I'm not a negative guy. I'm just trying to do injury, and we're trying to do injury analysis as opposed to believing the injury reporting that's coming from the teams or these other sources. Reporting comes from teams, coaches, GMs, players, agents. They all have their agenda, which is okay. If I had an agent, I want him to have my agenda, right? The team has their agenda. Is it reality? And that's what we, quote, make our living on or give our advice on. Injury, we're really the only place that gives true injury analysis versus injury reporting. For example, how far would you guys get at Roster Watch if all you did was report everyone else's ADPs? It's your analysis that people come and want to see and talk about, right?
Yeah.
You know, you can go any website and get ADPs. That's not what it's about. It's, you know, roster construction and all the issues and, you know, all the specific issues and the analysis of why. So that's kind of what we do. We don't do the reporting. We do injury analysis of the video and what's out there.
You want to win your fantasy draft? No, I mean, like, really, do you really, really, really want to win your fantasy draft? Because you can win your fantasy draft with the RosterWatch Ultimate Draft Cheat Sheet, available at RosterWatch.com. It's the revolutionary cheat sheet to change fantasy football forever, and it's the only tool you'll need this draft season. You've heard Roster Watch live on Sirius XM Radio here on the podcasts from all the NFL training camps. Now, all you have to do is follow the three simple rules at the top of the sheet of paper using the Roster Watch cheat sheet. That's it. Three rules. An extra quality draft is guaranteed if you follow the three simple rules. Guys, it couldn't be easier. The Roster Watch Ultimate Draft Cheat Sheet. You can't afford to draft without it. It's available now and only at RosterWatch.com.
So, but all right, but just so with JSN, you think week one, there's just no way?
Well,
I mean, I know you hate to say no way. I didn't mean it like that, but just maybe.
There's no way. How about this? There's no way he's playing with a, quote, naked wrist with nothing on it. No way.
Okay.
Okay. Can he play with a thumb spica splint that includes his thumb and his wrist? Maybe a low profile, non-cast, maybe. But how do you catch? What do they tell you? Like
Why not just let diamond. It be? Right.
I want to tell my 10-year-old, diamond, nose right. of the football. You need your thumb.
Yeah.
Okay? It's one thing if your thumb were free, but with the base of the thumb where the scaphoid fracture, you need your thumb. It's going to affect him week one. I think it's – if you offered me a straight-up wager, does he play week one? No. I put a couple of units on no.
Okay.
But return to play is questionable. Like, you know, maybe there's excitement. Maybe they say we're going to use him as a decoy. Maybe we're – but look, if I have other options, I am not counting on starting him on for the game. If I have a Thursday option, I'm plugging that in. Okay. I don't care what that option is.
Got it. All right. So there's just two other guys that I can't let you get out of here without talking about them. So let's just get through them.
I'm sorry to be so long-winded. We're not getting to your whole mess, but let's keep going. There's no knocks on the window here to say, come on.
Okay. All right. Cool. All right. So just these two. What about Javonte Williams? Has your stance sort of changed on him now that he's returned to practice and he's taking part in preseason games?
Yes and no. And let me explain. And once again, sorry for being long-winded.
No, man, we love hearing from you, Doc. Yeah.
Yes, my stance has changed because I wrongly expected him to be on PUP. Okay. So if you're saying he can now be available in the first 6 weeks, that obviously has to change his very low six score from 40s to at least into the high 50s. So we've made an 11-point jump, 47 to 58. But okay, we're not ready anywhere close to saying 90. Let me rewind to 2022. We were having the same conversation about J.K. Dobbins. I was very down on J.K. Dobbins in terms of fantasy draft. It wasn't an attack on J.K. Dobbins. He had a multi-ligament injury. What happened to J.K. Dobbins? I mean, it was an easy futures under. He was very disappointing last year. Late season run a little bit, early season scope even, and he didn't look himself. Javonte Williams is a multi-ligament tear. I saw all the plays that he ran this in week two. He looked just okay, and he didn't look real good on the one side, on his left side. There was watch this run late in the game where he doesn't make a one-plant cut where he needs to. And look, high end speed, he's got it, it's fine. He's playing, he's ahead of schedule. I'll give him all of that. But this is the NFL. The margin between a very good running back and a guy who's out of league is only about this much. You know, and he, you know, and I'm not saying he's out of league, doesn't deserve to be in league. He'll get better and better. Right. Yes, we have raised him, but I still think he's being drafted way too high in his ADP, you know. And the other is the other thing. The rules have changed, Alex. It used to be PUPs were very meaningful, and here's why. And this is, I think, the analysis that I can add because I worked in the NFL, right?
Sure.
And I right. see this. The rules have changed. It used to be PUPs were very valuable because IR was a one-way rule. All season, that's it. Then we creep to one player. Then we creep to two. Now it's unlimited. Unlimited number of players that you can put on injured reserve and bring back after 6 weeks. Okay? What's PUP? Someone who comes back after 6 weeks. It's almost equivalent. But if you're on PUP in the preseason, you still count against the roster spot, so it doesn't help you. But you cannot practice with the team. You have to practice off to the side with the athletic trainer. Isn't it a benefit, even if Javonte Williams is not 100%, to have him taking all these reps with the team, with a new coach, new scheme? Isn't there benefit to that? And if he responds well, they'll keep carrying him on the roster, even if they decide to use Perrine early on. And if he doesn't respond well, what do? They put him on injured reserve because they say he has new knee swelling. They still save the 6 weeks. They still save the roster spot. Nothing's changed. So our emphasis on PUP has to be changed a little bit on the importance of, oh, he didn't make PUP.
That's like a not. So you're there's a non-zero chance that this could be like, it's like, oh, psych. Like, actually, he is going to have to miss six. Like, if this injury, if it flares back up, they could just say, oh, now it's new swelling, and now he's got to go back on IR. I guess that's a kind of risk that a lot of people
thought about. I mean, it's easy to say he did something and the knee now swelled, and it's not illegal to say it.
Right. No. It makes perfect sense. Right. Yeah.
But then you can put him on injury reserve and park him for 6 weeks, not cost you a roster spot, and bring him back. The only downside is that you're only allowed to do that once a year for each player. You can't do that twice for the same player. But if you really are missing 6 weeks and then somebody else happens to miss another 6 weeks, I mean, it's a neat threaded needle anyways. But if you want to ask me week one, if there was a head-to-head rivals type thing, you know, and we do have some specials, you know, for prize picks and underdog and whatever, you know, SIC promo code, $100 matching, et cetera. If you had an underdog rivals thing and somehow they put up P. Ryan versus Javonte Williams in week one, I'm all over P. Ryan.
Oh, okay. All right, cool. All right. Again, he's Dr. David Chow. You can find him on Twitter at ProFootballDoc. I got one more question for you, Doc, and then I'm going to get you out of here. I know you got to get, unless you're getting into surgery right this instant. I would.
Totally no. They said they were positioning the patient if you heard the overhead. So
okay.
They got a few minutes.
All right, cool. All right, so again.
They still have to, you know, I have a good staff, so there's still no one open on the table.
absolutely wild. This is crazy. All right. Sick data, all that stuff. We're going to get some information from our guy Doug, and we'll get that information into the podcast description when this thing gets pushed out, so they can find out all about the products this year and the offerings over there at sixscore.com. Okay, What about Jonathan Taylor? And I know it's like without.
Oh, you threw me for. I thought for sure you were going to go Breece Hall, but okay,
no,
Jonathan.
No, Taylor. Well, no. I'd love to ask you about Breece Hall. It feels like.
Oh, we'll talk about that too. So Jonathan Taylor seems to be more contractual than injury.
Okay.
In terms of six score and health, we're good with Jonathan Taylor. Perfect. Where is he now going to land now that a trade is potential? Who knows? So what's his value? Who knows? I'm less worried about injury on him. Look, I think there's gamesmanship going on there. If you remember what happened, the team, there were two reporters that on the same day independently said there's a possibility the team will put Jonathan Taylor on non-football injury because he has a back issue. And then, you know, and to me, that was a shot across Taylor and the agent's bow. Like, oh, yeah, we can do this to you. And what did Taylor do? He showed up and said, I got nothing with my back at all, but my ankle from last year, which is football related, is my problem. And I'm going to go away from the team to rehab it. Legal. So who can say that his ankle isn't 100%? We think he's fine. But if he's 96%, he's entitled to, you know, get his ankle treated. And now it's football related. So to me, it's all gamesmanship, nothing to do with the real injury.
That's good. Okay. Great. And then since you mentioned it, what great insight there. Go back to the football related injury and not this back thing that Ursay thought up. All right. And then, so what about Breece Hall?
Breece Hall. Okay. Easy thing. Breece Hall thinks Saquon Barkley, 2021, coming off the ACL. How many people drafted him super high and were disappointed that year? And we were saying, don't take Saquon. Don't take Saquon high. Don't take him up in the first round. Last year, we were high on Saquon when everyone said, I'm done with him, right? And he had a nice bounce back year. Breece Hall, don't be fooled once again by the non-PUP situation. He does seem to be doing pretty well. Do not be fooled by high-end speed, 23 miles an hour. Have you seen video of him trying to stop? Have you seen video? I mean, the cutting and decel, which you need to get through holes. You don't have wide open holes where you're just trying to get to high end speed. The first thing to come back after an ACL is high end speed, then acceleration, then deceleration, then cutting. He's not there yet. He's on the field. We have a lower six score on him. He's draftable, but not at current ADPs. Actually, I put out something on one site. I forget whose. They said he was running back 16. And Dalvin Cook is running back 31. I would take Dalvin Cook ahead of Breece Hall. Now, here's the thing. People have made a lot of Breece Hall's back at practice before Dalvin Cook. Dalvin Cook is a shoulder. That's not the moneymakers. Breece Hall's the knee. That's the moneymaker. And do you really think the Jets paid $8.5 or whatever $1 million it was for Dalvin Cook and didn't know Breece Hall was coming off of PUP the next day? They internally knew, but they still signed him. There's a reason they did that. The cynics will say because Aaron Rodgers wanted it. Okay, fine. But they know too on the inside, and I see it on the video. I always play this game, Alex. When someone I get a video, I clear my mind, and a lot of times I don't remember which side. Okay. And I look, can I tell which side? If I can tell which side, that, and to the naked eye on Twitter video, then to me, they're not at the high levels of the NFL. And I have clearly been able to on Breece Hall and Javonte Williams, et cetera.